morning. It's about 7 o'clock, and it's Sunday, August the 2nd, and this is road trip number... Good evening. It's about 7 o'clock, and we are starting off on road trip number one of our ZB cast. My name is Jeff, and I have three of my friends here today on our trip. We have...
David Gilmore.
Riding shotgun. Behind the shotgun, we have...
John Anderson.
And then we have also...
Aaron Rhodes.
And so we're excited to be able to share with you. We're going to take this time to have a little conversation as we drive the southern route around 470 and 435 around Kansas City and hopefully have some good stimulating conversation. Right now I'm going to turn it over to David, who has an exciting newspaper article to share, and we're going to have a little time to discuss that.
Not only am I in charge of navigation tonight, I'm also bringing the first story. This one comes from MSNBC.com. This is on Friday. Broke on Friday. There was stories from last Sunday. Most kids who want to get out of going to church claim a stomach ache or a fever, but not Preston Scarborough. Like a modern-day Huckleberry Finn taking a joyride down the Mississippi on a raft, the 7-year-old Utah boy took a jaunt down the streets around his home in his father's car. Now, I know that I've done a lot of things trying to get out of church, but I don't know that that was one that I ever tried.
Does it say in there, like, what time of day that he was doing? I mean, was it in the morning before church?
Yeah.
Why was, I mean, was the family going to go to church?
8 a.m.
8 a.m.
8 a.m. Cops followed him around, chased him back to his house. His parents had no idea. And it says he's utterly clueless about the joyride his son had just concluded and the posse of pursuing patrol cars he had just collected along the way. His father asked his son, that had ran up to his room, "Oh, the cops are out in front of our house?" "Yeah," Preston said, before scurrying out of the room and hiding in the basement.
See, I think it's pretty impressive. One, that the child had the skills to do that. Two, the child was able to get back to his house. To drive around enough to, like, to get a group of people behind him, but then also to be able to have the ability to navigate to get back to his house as a 7-year-old.
My question for you guys is, have you ever done anything like this to try and get out of going to church?
I have not. When I was younger, my mom and I, it was just the two of us. And if one of us was sick or we couldn't go to church, we would have our own church service in the living room. So there was really no motivation. The only thing that did was just make it so we couldn't see my friends. And so it was always better to just go ahead and go to church.
Well, if you mean by getting out of church, committing Grand Theft Auto, no, I have not. But there were times where I wouldn't particularly want to go to Wednesday night prayer service, so I would use my brothers or sister as an excuse because they could stay home for school reasons, and then I could stay home with them.
The homework use.
Yeah.
Nicely played.
I never had the homework excuse.
Yes.
My homework was at home.
You were homeschooled?
I was homeschooled.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's great. I mean, if I got done with my work early, I was done. I didn't have to wait for a bus or nothing, but I could never use schoolwork as an excuse.
My parents, I think they'd string me along. You know, if I'd play sick, like, "Oh, I don't think I can go to church today." Like, "Okay, well, you can stay home." I think, "Sweet, I just pulled this off." It's like, "Oh, but you won't want to go out and play baseball or anything for the next day or two because you'll need to stay in and start feeling better." It's, "Oh, no." Busted. Which is probably even worse than just calling my bluff and telling me I needed to go to church.
Yeah. That's part of good parenting is providing choices.
Yeah.
And, I mean, getting the choice. Okay, well, if you stay home and you're truly sick, then there's a natural consequence to being truly sick, and that's not being able to participate in other things later.
Yeah. So what would you have done to your kid if they'd have Grand Theft Auto'd your vehicle? Had the patrol cars chasing him, ended up back at the house.
Does it say there that the child was doing it to get out of church?
Yes.
Or, oh.
He told his parents... that he didn't want to go to church that day.
That adds another level.
So what do you think? I mean, what's appropriate punishment? I know what the punishment was. I'll tell you after.
Well, I would deny them use of the car for the next 9 years.
I don't even know how I'd punish my child for that. Would I be more happy that she's okay and that she didn't hurt anybody?
So you wouldn't punish him at all?
Well, I would. I just don't know what.
That would definitely be a unique... He's a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew what he was doing was wrong.
He had not reached the age of accountability.
He had not, but he still knew what he was doing was wrong.
I would agree with that. It could be reasonably expected that he knew it was wrong to take the keys and drive off with his parents' car. With the police following in pursuit.
For that?
By who?
By the Lord.
Well, I think I'm not as concerned about that as I am as a parent. Regardless, I mean, you can't just, like, let children run wild for the first 7 years, 364 days.
And
On the eighth birthday, all of a sudden say, okay, now you're accountable for stuff after seven-plus years of not being accountable. He's still accountable for doing that, even though he's not accountable maybe as much to the Lord. He's still accountable to his parents.
Sure. But doesn't this beg the question, should this child have been baptized immediately?
No.
No. Because God said...
Just to be forgiven?
Just to be forgiven.
Wash that clean.
No. God said he's gonna take care of the sins of children up to the age of eight and people who died without the law. Those are covered. Whether or not they knew what they were doing and it's, in God's eyes, a sin, God's covering that. It's after that age of accountability that falls on our shoulders.
So this one's on his parents.
Yeah.
To which they responded. Preston was sentenced. I like that. He was sentenced by his parents. Sentenced to a four-day grounding in his room with no TV or video games. Especially the driving games the boy loves.
No Gran Turismo.
No, doesn't look like it.
Or
4 days.
Kart.
That's not overly strong, I don't think.
No, but for a 7-year-old, that would seem like an eternity.
Probably so.
Yeah. It's almost a week.
That's what I got. I thought that was a funny one.
That was a funny one.
It is a funny one. Now, have any of you guys ever been to Cheyenne or Wyoming, for that matter? Anybody?
No.
Yes.
Do we have time tonight? How long is this?
That's a ways.
I would say if Colorado is at least 10 hours, is that right?
Well, you could make it to Denver in 8.5.
Okay.
And driving.
Wyoming's on the other side or north of it?
It's further north.
Further north? I mean, it's right below Montana, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
As far as I know.
So there's a church there, Grace United. And they were ordered by the city of Cheyenne to take down directional signs to their church. So, what I gathered from this article is that they had signs posted up all around town that would direct people to their church. And I got this from WyomingNews.com, by the way, so I'm not infringing upon anybody's copyrights. Anyway, it says here, it didn't make any sense to Carmichael, when an inspector from city department came by Grace United Methodist with a written order to take down a dozen or so directional signs posted around neighborhoods, and if the signs remained, they would be fined $100 every day. That's pretty steep.
What was the reason given?
That seems pretty steep.
Let's see. It says, so what was wrong with the signs? The answer is twofold. Now, first of all, city codes.
I know a lot of cities have laws as far as how long you can have things posted. Like garage sales. You can only have a garage sale sign posted for a couple days.
Right. Yeah,
and so
sense.
It could be possible if they kind of just have these temporary signs but have them put up for perpetuity and the city saying, you know, you have to either buy space or something else or I don't know. What is it?
Yeah, it was basically it. It says, let's see here. They are not allowed to post signs on someone else's private property, even with the owner's permission, said Lisa Patford, the city's assistant development director. And at least in Cheyenne, it says that means the garage sign sales that you see on utility poles are against the city codes, but the development office doesn't have time to chase down those offenders. The other part is you can actually have a sign up, but you have to have a permit, which Grace Methodist did not. And there are several standards. Once you have that permit, the poles must be made of 12-gauge steel, or they can be no bigger than 18 inches wide, 12 inches high. Graphics and logos are not allowed. There's some color standards they have to abide by. They have to be on these galvanized posts. It goes on. And so it kind of seems silly that they have all these rules that... For these specific signs and that they would even enforce it, you know, like they said, if there are garage sales all over the place or other signs for other churches, wouldn't it seem more appropriate to hit everybody at once?
Well, I'm wondering if it's not that there were other churches that were doing this, but that there were other garage sales, and because those were so ubiquitous, you couldn't really do much about that because they come and go too quickly, but the church was a standing presence. There were several signs, and they probably were up for longer than the garage sales. So it was easier to track those down and then, you know, I guess let the chips fall where they may. But I mean, if you're going to have an ordinance, it's probably appropriate to follow the ordinance.
But would you even think of it? I mean, I don't think if it would, because it seems like it was only in neighborhoods. So as long as they're not covering up street signs or whatever else, it would probably seem okay.
Well,
I don't know.
The
ordinance
was probably not created for church signs and garage sales. Mm-hmm. It was probably created because they were getting too many billboards. And in order to regulate billboards, you had to say, well, all right, we're not going to allow just any private sign anywhere. You have to be licensed if you're going to put up a billboard or any kind of sign. And that's probably how this was created. I'm just guessing. I don't know. But
now, a couple of people actually wrote in to the newspaper. Their comments range from in support and to totally against. They said that churches are tax exempt. No signs of any of them should be allowed. Others said that there is somebody at City Hall that thinks they have a vendetta against the specific church. Let's see here. Another person said that it was because of these signs that when his wife and the individual moved to Cheyenne that they found this Methodist church, which I guess would be good.
That's kind of the purpose of the signs.
Yes, that's the purpose of the signs. And then finally, someone wrote in, my goodness, we have murderers, robberies, and all kinds of crime in Cheyenne, and we're going after a church for putting up signs without a permit.
What kind of church was this again? Was it Methodist?
Yes.
You don't know what I think? It was the... Should we beep that out? I mean, I don't know if we should be calling out different denominations. Let's beep that out.
All right, I'll just beep out.
Because my conspiracy is about to tie in the... and the... No.
It was another denomination. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, how big is the population of Cheyenne?
That I do not have in front of me.
It's a pretty good sized city, I think.
But somebody has an iPhone where they could look it up. And speaking of iPhones, there is a teen, this came out of the Kansas City Star, teen devises a prayer app for the iPhone. So Wright, 17, submitted his proposal to this Metal Mobile in Los Angeles, and they specialize in Apple apps. The co-founder said it's so simple, it's brilliant. We think it's going to be extremely successful. Now Wright, he's a junior at a high school, a regular churchgoer, and he says he came up with the idea while laying in bed and feeling lonely. Now, his idea is that if you want to send a message, you don't have to talk to anybody. You could just send a little prayer via this iPhone app. This Metal Mobile, they maintain this application is not a joke, but a sincere way for people to reach out to the divine and to each other. Users can read each other's prayers and be supportive by clicking on thumbs up signals. Otherwise, they can't leave any feedback or respond at all, which I think is probably good judgment if this goes through, because anybody that's ever looked at forums and they start getting into religion or anything touchy, people, they wouldn't speak that way civilly to anybody in a normal situation. But then it's like the gloves are off and they can just say whatever they want because they're ambiguous on the internet.
So you type in your prayers and everybody can read it?
Yep.
Okay, population of Cheyenne is 53,000.
That's smaller than I would have thought.
No, I was thinking
53,000. That's like the size of Blue Springs.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, Des Moines isn't that big of a
I'm about to rethink my conspiracy theory then.
But Cheyenne's probably one of the biggest cities, like probably the biggest city in the state. And it's not like Blue Springs is a suburb of Kansas City, and right. Lots of bigger cities around it, too.
Although I did read in the paper that Blue Springs is the 10th biggest city in Missouri. There's a whole bunch of cities around St. Louis that beat it out, though.
Well, Independence is, I think, the 5th.
Anyway, they interviewed Reverend James Murphy. He is... I'm not saying this correctly. V-I-C-A-R.
The vicar.
Vicar General of the Catholic Diocese of Sacramento. And he agrees that this could be a high-tech form of prayer in an authentic way to express our desires to God. He says, whatever the form prayers are heard, God will hear it. And you don't have to use, or you don't have to have his email address. Ha, ha, ha. So, would that be something that you guys would do? Aaron, no. you have an iPhone.
Not a chance. I'm not going to... I don't have any interest in texting my prayers to God.
Well, I think more than the communication with God, I think part of it could be almost... I mean, I think a lot of churches do something similar in their prayer lists. because you're almost just saying add my name to a prayer list by the commutative nature of that app, having other people read it and supporting them in their prayers. I mean, if I had something where if I could put it in and a lot of my friends or the people that I would go to for prayer assistance, if they all got, oh, Jeff needs prayers on this.
Sure. I would not
rely on that to be my communication with God, but I can see having that be a way to communicate with my friends regarding my prayer needs.
If it was used for, like, prayer needs, I could see that. If it's just, hey, that was a great prayer, it really inspired me, I'm not really seeing that, but it doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
You're not cool.
Well, in a related story, this came out of Pittsburgh, out of the AP. What? Yeah, we can skip to that. Let me find it.
How did you know about the articles?
The Bible cursing?
Mm-hmm.
John mentioned that at the end of our last.
He mentioned the last one.
At the end of our last.
Yeah.
Okay, as requested. This comes out of USA Today. Minister wins right to threaten judge with biblical curses. A Michigan appeals court on Tuesday overturned a ruling that had sent a minister to jail for threatening a judge with curses from the Bible. Now, I read it and I laughed at first, but then I had to ask myself, okay, first of all, why is this minister in court anyway? So the Court of Appeals, it reaffirmed the basic American value that citizens cannot be in prison for criticizing government officials. So, in other words, he got off. To our knowledge, this case marks the first time in modern history that a preacher has been thrown out of prison, or I'm sorry, the preacher has been thrown in prison for predicting what God might do.
I wonder if he blessed the appeals court that overturned the decision.
It would have been appropriate.
Yes, it would have.
Good question.
It's a good thing it wasn't King Noah on the stand. Because, you know, Benedict didn't really have any appeals court to go to.
Guy sounds like a piece of work. I wonder what his congregation thinks, if he has a congregation.
Well, I mean, regardless, the actions he took in the voter intimidation and the bribery, those are unethical and illegal things.
And reprehensible.
Yeah.
Now, the last time I went to go vote at a church, they were giving out donuts.
That's really bribery right there.
And I voted according to my heart's desire and my stomach's desire because I'd had that donut.
Were they Lamar's donuts?
No.
See, that would have... if they had, like, a little Mars donut with, like, little, like, things sticking out of it with who they wanted me to vote for...
Done and done.
I have to say, it'd be a little too more tempting than a non-Lamar's donut. What do you think? If you were ticked off at a judge and you felt like you needed to lay down some biblical curses, what would you use? I'll start to give you guys a little time to think. For me, my favorite actually isn't a biblical curse. It's a curse that Joseph Smith used. And it was something to the effect of turning someone over to the buffetings of Satan. When I first heard that, we tweaked it a little bit. We turned it over to turn somebody over to the buffet of Satan, which may be equally as bad. But anyway, so the buffetings or buffet of Satan is kind of my favorite biblical or scriptural curse. So anybody else have a good scriptural curse that they would enjoy sharing?
John, what was the curse he used again?
He had a couple that were kind of interesting, I thought.
And as we talked about last time, his appeal eventually got his case got overturned, and he was found...
The
cursing got overturned, which makes you wonder, did he intimidate the appeals court with the thought of him cursing them as well?
I don't know.
Well, okay, here it is. Consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with extreme burning.
That sounds unpleasant.
So even as specific as it is, it's a little vague. I mean, that could go many different ways.
I still prefer the buffet of Satan.
It's hard to top the buffet of Satan.
But here's my pick.
Yeah.
So Elijah is walking along one day, and a bunch of kids start making fun of him. So what he does is he summons two bears out of the wilderness that comes and tears the kids apart. True story.
It is scriptural.
It is scriptural, but it's debatable if they were kids. It calls them youths, and that
I can see like teenagers.
it could have been teenagers, could have been in their 20s by their standards.
So you may the bears of Elijah be upon you.
Well, that's a good one.
Anybody else?
You know, I like, kind of like the frogs. Oh. I like Moses' frogs.
Moses brought it.
Moses. If there was a cursor.
If there was a cursor to be the standard bearer, I think it would be Moses.
Yeah, I don't know if I wouldn't come with a little Abinadi. Whatsoever thing you shall do unto me, it shall be done unto you.
I like Abinadi.
Because, you know, that could be a blessing or a cursing.
Yes, it could. My preference, though, is just the blessing. You know, if somebody curses me, bless you. Because, you know, then it's raining down fire on their heads.
That's called high road right there. You're a high road man.
That's why we like you.
I appreciate that.
All right. Well, we are around 20 minutes. And on that note, Aaron, sign us off.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. You can always find us on ZionBound.com, or you can email us at either any of our first names at ZionBound.com. Hope you listen to more of our episodes upcoming. And until we are together again in Zion, let us remain Zion Bound.
Zion Bound.
Zion Bound.
Zion Bound.